Negotiate trade or security agreements. Encourage strong cultural ties. Oversee the safety of citizens. And notify the State Department when travel warnings should be issued. There you go. Did you make a note of those seven? Do any of those apply to you? Of course. If I was a namby-pamby preacher, I could make a case for those. I could be really abstract and say, yes, but we, as Christians, we relay the policies of heaven. Or that we encourage security by telling people to come to the salvation and sanctity of the cross. But that would be quite abstract and tenuous, so I'm not going to do that. Let's be a bit more specific. What is this concept of ambassadorship? Paul must have used it for a reason. And yet, when I look at the definitions that I find in the dictionary or the definitions of ambassadorship that we use in the world, they don't seem to help me understand what that means. So let's just use another definition that I found in a Bible commentary, which I think will help more. An ambassador is an authorized representative and messenger. An authorized representative and messenger. Does that look a bit better? Does that fit a bit better with what we think Paul might be saying? Is that kind of purpose we're looking to identify? An authorized representative and messenger. So if you think about that, it's two parts definition, isn't it? Representative and messenger. So let's just strip those two things down a little bit further. So we often use this phrase about we're ambassadors in the world. And I wonder if sometimes we kind of suggest that really we're ambassadors by our very nature. By the fact that we're Christians, that we then become ambassadors. So that in everything that we do and everything that we say, we just inherently are ambassadors. We're on the Lord's side, aren't we? We're different. We don't see the world in the way that others do. We see it in the context of a holy and righteous God. We live in the knowledge of our sin and the power of the risen Lord. And we just know that we've got something about us that comes from being set free from death. So we're citizens of heaven. So we're just different. And that's enough. We just go through life, living our normal lives, and we are ambassadors because of who we are. But is that it? Because if we use that definition, an authorized representative and messenger, then I don't think that quite fits, because that is just the representation part. You know, that's who we are. We're representative of what Christians are like. We're representatives of what Jesus is like. But I don't think that's the full extent of what an ambassador is. And in fact, if we look at Scripture, I think we'll see that Paul places a very different emphasis on things. So if you look again into your Bibles at verse 11 and the first part of that, and just note, just take a note of what leaps out of you here. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. Verse 18, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Verse 19. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. See, what do you notice there? If you look at those four verses, you'll see it's very active. It's not just being. It's not just representation. It's doing. The message is simple. It's not just be, be, be. It's do, do, do. Work hard. Persuade others. This is your task. Reconcile. Appeal. Plead. Imagine we're having a cake sale in this church. We've all made cakes, we've brought them in here, and so what we're going to do, we want to send someone outside to harangue passers-by and send them inside to eat cake. And it's free, they're free. So I say to someone, right, go out there, and stand on the pavement, and as people go past, say, "Hey, guys, there's some cakes in there. They're free. They're wonderful. I've been eating them all morning. They taste delicious. They're incredible. They will make, you will be so delighted to have a cake. They are so good. You really cannot miss this opportunity to go and have some cake. So you should go outside and you do that, okay?" But as you're walking out, you think, I don't think I'm going to tell people to go and have that cake. I think what I'm going to do is I will just stand on the pavement and I will look so satisfied. I will look so happy. I will look so content with the cake that is in my stomach that people, as they walk past, they'll go, "There's something different about that person. They look happy. They look like they might have had a lovely piece of cake. I might go into this building here and see what it's all about." Of course, that's nonsense, isn't it? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But I do wonder if sometimes we think to ourselves, as Christians, if we just are just, we're Christians, so therefore we're different, people will notice. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but maybe it gives us an excuse not to really do anything. If an ambassador goes to a foreign country and doesn't relay policy, if he doesn't negotiate treaties, if he doesn't try to strengthen cultural ties, if he doesn't do anything, then he's not an ambassador, is he? He's just a foreign resident, an alien, a visitor. You know, he may be representative of where he's from. People will say to him, "Oh, so that's what Canadians are like. That's what French people are like." But he's not an ambassador. And that's what can happen to us. "Oh, that's what Christians are like. People will make that judgment of you. That's what Christians are like." But is that the same thing as conveying a message, conveying what you stand for, what you believe in? It seems to me that if we believe that we are God's ambassadors, then we have to do something. So can I ask you then, if you apply that test to your own life, do you still consider yourself to be an ambassador for Christ? Do the statements that Paul makes apply to you? Do you work hard to persuade others? Does the love of Christ control you? Do you carry out your task of reconciling others? Do you carry and deliver a wonderful message of reconciliation? Do you ever make an appeal? Do you ever speak for Christ? Do you ever plead, "Come back to God"? Are you truly an ambassador in the full sense of the word? Or have you just settled into the role of a representative? Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that words are more powerful than actions. I'm not saying that you just have to go and tell everyone that you meet within 5 seconds about Jesus. Certainly not. It doesn't even say in this passage that the message of reconciliation is necessarily verbal. It could well be a message that is imparted through conduct, through the things that you do. A kind deed is so powerful. And we know that the words of your mouth will be empty and shallow without a life of love and integrity behind them. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, that famous wedding passage, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." And I'm not saying either that the more you do, the better an ambassador you are. I'm not going to suggest that we get the church calendar out and say, "Okay, we're not doing much on a Monday. We need to put something in." Or that, you know, you're not doing enough in church. You need to do more. You need to get more involved. It's not about doing more and more and more. It's not about doing more things at all. It's about doing the right things. Or perhaps it's about doing things in the right way. So easy. It's so hard to communicate your faith these days. It is so hard because people are so against it. People are so, we're on the back foot immediately because people don't even believe in creation. They just believe in the Big Bang and there's no God. So you're immediately on the back foot. People think you're foolish. They think you've got no brain. And then, of course, if you do get to the point of there being a God, then you've got suffering to deal with. You've got all the perceived bigotry of the Bible. You've got all that to deal with. So that can so easily just close your mouth. And that's hard to deal with because we know that the Great Commission says, go, go, go and make disciples. So how do we deal with that? And I think sometimes we deal with it by getting our theology involved, rationalizing our inactivity. And we say, well, it's okay because I am a Christian, so therefore I am different. So therefore anything that I do will stand out in some way or another. And I'm not sure that's right. And believe me, I am speaking to myself so much this morning. To live in the safety and security of your own salvation, in the hope that someone might notice, I don't think that's quite enough. I don't think it's enough to be a representative. It's not enough just to be an exotic visitor. To be an ambassador, you have to do something. You have to carry out the purpose for which you are appointed. Just as faith without works is dead, you can't really be something without the doing the something that flows from it. You can't be a good husband if you don't do the things that a good husband would do. You can't claim to be a good mother without doing the things that a good mother would do. You can't be Christ-like if you don't do Christ-like things. Who you are and what you do are inextricably linked. Verse 15 says this, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. As an ambassador, as a new creation, you live for Christ. The things that you do and the things that you say, they're supposed to bring glory to God. And yes, the fact that you accept God into your life, that brings glory to God. It absolutely does. And you are different. Because you know Jesus. And that pleases God, just to rest and to know who God is. But a determined, conscious decision to follow Jesus and to live for him, I think that brings more glory to God. I'm going to give you an example. We see it in the cross, don't we? Christ came to earth and he lived a perfect life in perfect communion with his Father, and that brought glory to God. Of course it did. But when he took those steps that brought him to the cross, that brought even more glory. It was a determined, conscious step of reconciliation. Christ was sent to carry out his purpose. And even though he just before he had to carry out what he had to do, he said, Lord, if there is any way you can take this cup from me, won't you do it? He then went on to say, but not my will, but yours. Look at verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Can I try and sum this up maybe into one question? You know, if God loves you as much as you would say he does, if Christ paid a price that is as significant as you think it is, if you've been rescued from an eternity of pain and hurt, then why wouldn't you tell people? Why wouldn't you do kind things? Why wouldn't you be an ambassador? There are so many reasons that we get hemmed in. Fear, worry, anxiety. We don't want to upset people. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to be thought of as stupid. We worry what people might say. It's so easy just to reduce our role. But when we think of the cross, Jesus didn't do the easy thing. He did the hard thing. He was from somewhere and he went somewhere else. And he went for a reason. And then he carried out that reason. Just to close this, I just want to show you a song. It's going to come up on screen. And I think hopefully it just conveys just the sense of what I've been trying to say to you this morning. You may not like the song, you may not like the guy's voice, you may not like the style, but I hope the message will mean something. Thank you.
I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down, and how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something?
that video is brilliant. I think that is what church is all about. I think that's what life is all about. I think that's what we should be doing. We're Christians. We love God. God loves us. That is brilliant. That is incredible. But let's do something. Let's stand up for something. Let's find someone that we can help, someone we can love. Let's just think of what would Jesus do? We don't all have to do the same thing. But I ask, my prayer for you, and particularly for me this morning, is that in the next week, that you will say to God, God, what can I do? What can I do for you? What can I do for my neighbour? What can I do for my family? What can I do for this world? Just something, Lord, that will bring you glory. And all the time, thinking about Jesus, who said, Lord, not my will. In a moment, we're going to sing. And we're going to sing a song that's called By Faith. And that's how we walk. That is how we step out. We step out in faith in this hard, hard world. By faith, the church was called to go in the power of Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. By faith, this mountain shall be moved and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon his name. Let me just pray and then we'll see. Father God, the last thing I want this morning is to be legalistic and say that if you do this, this and this, that you'll be pleased. We know that, Lord, that is not the case. You love us regardless. But Lord, as a response to that great love you have for us, we want to please you. We want to live our lives in a way that would bless your heart. Lord, not just in church, in the way that we sing and pray, but Lord, in everything that we do. So Lord, I just pray that you would work within us in the next week, in the next month, the next year. Lord, if we just try and be like Jesus, we just try and do the things that Jesus would have done, we try and say the things that Jesus would have said. Lord, help us to be Christians, little Christs. Lord, we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.